see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you.
Good morning. This is Wonderful World, the radio show on KZSM about river and aquifer issues. I'm Diane Wasenick, your host, with a slight case of laryngitis, but I hope you can understand me well enough. And today I'm thrilled to say we have, as guest, Onlo Sepulveda, one of the producers of the Yacona movie, which you all will remember, was made, it debuted this month at South by Southwest 11 years ago. So this is a very appropriate date to have Onlo on. Mm-hmm. We're so glad to have you, Onlo. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to make Yacona, the movie about the San Marcos River.
Sure. Thanks for having talk about the film. And in South By, I remember when we had our big premiere at the Paramount downtown Austin, and everybody from San Marcos came, and
we did,
and it was just, yeah, that was a huge highlight of my life and just of my career. So yeah, it was wonderful. I started out, I started, you know, my exposure to the river was from very young, coming up from Corpus Christi and, you know, doing, you know, floating the river, doing river floats. And then I got a job at Texas State in 2003, and there was the old Clear Springs apartments that were right there,
yes,
right across from Sewell Park.
Yes.
And my balcony was right there on the river.
Oh,
so it was incredible. I was just like, I'm going to live here. Yeah, this is fantastic. And so pretty much every day, twice a day, three times a day, just snorkeling in the river. And just seeing, and the more you go in there, the more you explore, the more you realize just how wonderful the place is. I mean, it really is a coral reef right in the middle of Central Texas, you know, as far as biodiversity and all the things that are amazing about it, and the, you know, crystal clear water.
Oh yeah.
And you know, all the things that are wonderful about the river. So just being exposed to the river, and then my buddy Paul Collins, he was a student worker going to Texas State at the time. We always talked about, because he would come over, we'd go snorkel and check everything out, and we'd always talk about, kind of fantasized about doing a documentary about the river. And when we first were talking about it, it was just way too expensive to get underwater camera gear and all
that.
Oh
yeah,
and it was just kind of just a fantasy. But you know, we kept. Eventually, I made a film called Otis Under Sky. It went to South By. It was a narrative film, and it did well. And right about the time we were premiering at South By, Paul had just purchased a DSLR camera and underwater casing for it, and the price had come down significantly. And he's like, "Hey, dude, you got to come check this out." So I went over to his house, and he put up, you know, images of from underwater of the river, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is incredible!" And then that's kind of where the seed started. We just were like, "Okay, we got to do a documentary on this." Now that we finally have the equipment to kind of do the river and do the imagery correct, we just pretty much every day for 4 years after that, we were out in the river just filming, and kind of, again, the more we kind of explored the river, the more we discovered, the more stories that kind of emerged in front of us about the archaeology, some of the Native American history, the Kahuiltecans' presence at the river, all of these things just kind of revealed themselves to us as we explored and as we filmed, and it all kind of became integrated into the story of the river from the river's perspective, which is the film Yacona.
Yeah, it is from the river's perspective. Very little language or talking in it. It's from the river's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me. I've never heard the whole story of how you started. And I'm wondering, were those early 4 years or so that you were filming, was some of that used in the movie? Or did you start over again when you got ready to do the movie?
Well, no, I mean, it was a 4-year process of filming. So, I mean, there was some occasions where we'd get lucky and we'd film something and it was just spectacular. There were other occasions where the light didn't work out right, or, you know, my fin might have gotten into the shot, or, you know, or Paul maybe came into the shot. And, you know, so we'd go back. It was a process of like going back, looking at the footage, and then going out on a different day whenever that maybe this, the rays of light are kind of beaming through the, you know, and stuff like that, and just kind of tweaking it and taking our time, being patient with it, being patient with the process. And so sometimes we'd reshoot something, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 times until we got it right. So yes, it was kind of like, look at the footage, kind of go back and shoot some more, try to kind of optimize, you know, light and, you know, clarity and all the things. And
but then you also just ran across things every once in a while that were just incredible and spectacular and once in a lifetime, and you happened to catch it.
Yeah, yeah. What comes to mind is the snapping turtle duck scene. We were actually filming the archaeologists kind of doing their core samples and stuff. And it was, I remember it was kind of like a winter day. I think it was maybe in February or something, and it was kind of gloomy out. And and then we see this duck kind of in the distance, just kind of struggling. And I'm like, what is wrong with that duck? You know, I was like, should we go help it? You know? And then I was like, well, I'm going to bring my camera. I jumped in, swam over, and sure enough, there's a giant snapping turtle attached to the duck's leg there. And so I just was just kind of holding my breath as long as I could, being as stable as I could, and filming that entire sequence.
Well, don't give away what happens in the end, because that is something that if you've never seen the movie, you need to know how it ended up.
Yeah.
Without us telling you in advance.
That's right. Yeah, we got to find out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Well, what a great process. So, if you came out in 2014,
mm-hmm.
that's 11 years ago. You started filming in 2010, I guess.
Yeah, it was about 2010, 2011. I think is that kind of right during that period.
Well, I know that it was not easy bringing it to fruition, but first, before we cover that, let's talk about this screening with the live score that is coming for free at the Meadows Center March 22nd.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, with our 10-year kind of anniversary, we kind of had a string of screenings all over Central Texas.
I saw one in Lockhart.
Yeah. Jeffrey Brown, he kind of came on to kind of help us. He does First Tuesdays.
At
the Price Center. Film screenings. And he invited us to come to that. And then he just has a lot of connections with Central Texas kind of art house theaters. You know, we did one in Buda, Wimberley.
Oh.
We did one in Lockhart, as you mentioned. And so we kind of had a little bit of a revival, and the idea came up, man, we should really try to put together a live score screening, you know, for this. So we got this, some momentum. And, you know, Jeffrey knew of some funding sources, some grants and stuff like that. So we started applying for the City of San Marcos Commission for the Arts. They have a grant, community grant, that they provided. Texas State, the Environmental Services Committee, has a grant that we won. And Humanities Texas, the Texas Commission for the Arts. There's so many.
Also, I think the Meadows Center and Smurf are part of that, and the City for the Study of the Southwest at Texas State, and of course Jeffrey and his First Tuesday group, and then the Copycats people did the poster.
Yeah.
So you really had a lot of funders come together with Smurf to try to help you put on this free live score screening.
Yep.
Now, I attended at least one live score in Austin that was held in kind of a small space. And the music, all the cellos and everything, the singer, it just really penetrated your whole chest. You know, the noise was so intense. I doubt that it'll be that intense outdoors, but it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we first were talking about, you know, kind of our creative vision behind the film was to speak from the river's perspective. And really, the voice of the river is the music, you know. I mean, that is kind of the idea behind the film. And since it's mostly live or score, you know, having the live score experience is incredible because
Oh, yeah.
It's just music throughout the whole thing. And it's really just kind of, you know, expressing the emotions of the river and the idea that, you know, that it's connecting people with the river through music. So.
And history and everything and
yeah.
animals. But, you know, that's really, it'll change. Listening to a live score at a movie like this will change your perception of movies. Now when I go hear movies, I listen to the score and I think about, well, what instruments did that? How did they do that haunting noise?
Yeah.
You know, it's really very interesting. And I think y'all did a live score sometime in San Marcos during that year or so.
Yeah, there was a, we did one, I can't remember the year. I think it was maybe the year after we did one over the summer. And that was, yeah, that was incredible.
It was well attended.
We did it at Plaza Park there.
Oh, then, yeah. That's where it was. Yeah. I remember now. Well, we are really looking forward to this event because this live score, or this score, is by a very famous man who does a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Justin Sherburn.
And he and the movie won an award for its score in Florida, and I think that was an international competition.
Yeah, it was an international environmental film festival.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was. And it won best score. And then at South By, we got the audience award, and then there was a couple other film festivals where we won best documentary. But yeah, it definitely traveled far and wide. I believe we did a screening in Melbourne.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think they wanted the film, and so we sent it out, and they did a screening there for a film festival there. They did one, I believe there's one in Poland. I don't know. We had one of our producers, Jeff Marslett, who actually plays Jack Hayes in the film. He had a lot of, he was a film professor at UT, and now he's at in Boulder. And but he had a lot of connections with film festivals all over the world, so he just kind of sent it out, and you know, some.
Well, it's got to be good for tourism in San Marcos.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people now know about the San Marcos River.
Yeah. Well, I think it was also shown on PBS.
Yes, that's right.
And we got a lot of attention from that.
Yes, it was up in Dallas. Bart Wise, he has a kind of independent film PBS show, and he was able to get it on PBS in Dallas area. We still have yet to get it on PBS here in this region. So yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I don't know if we tried or not tried, or but yeah.
You'd think
well, we need to
San
work
Antonio
on that.
And Austin, you'd have a shot at that.
Yeah, right.
Well, I do think it got a lot of attention, and as SMRF, San Marcos River Foundation, has always wanted to do, we want people to understand how precious this river is, mm-hmm. and how incredibly beautiful and clear and biodiverse it is, and how we've got to protect it. Mm-hmm. We can't let building and development of the recharge zone happen as usual for most cities.
Mm-hmm.
We have to protect our recharge zone. And that was exactly the same time while we were working with y'all. Kevin Huffaker was on our board.
That's right.
He came to us to say, you really need to sponsor this group and help them fundraise.
That's right.
And so we did raise funds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without SMRF, there's no way we could have done this film. It was the support. I mean, that was the first obvious, you know,
hurdle.
Yeah, to go to SMRF and say, hey, we really want to support what you're doing. We're hopeful that this will help inspire people to do what Smurf is doing as well. And so that was absolutely critical to have San Marcos River Foundation, the support all the way through. And even to this day, I mean, the first thing we said whenever we wanted to do this live score, let's go to Smurf, talk to them, see what they can do to help us.
And Virginia did a great job of meeting with y'all repeatedly until we got it all figured out. She got it all figured out, or you did.
Absolutely. No, she was absolutely instrumental in helping us get secure some of this funding, and then just having that nonprofit status as well as, all that kind of stuff helps with some of these grants. We wouldn't be able to get these grants without that.
So. And Smurf can do it as a nonprofit because this is exactly in line with our mission to protect the beauty and pure of the San Marcos River.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, something to note too. is that this film is a community film. It belongs to this river, to this community, and people who love the river. We did an Indiegogo campaign when we first were funding the film, and the community answered and provided, I think, over $50,000 to help us get it through the finishing line.
We're going to come back to that in a minute and finish our show, Wonderful World, with On Los Sepulveda about Yacona.
And you are listening to Wonderful World here on the second Thursday of each month here on KCSM LP 104.1. And we're going to be right back with you. As a reminder that this is underwritten by a grant from the Bird Dine Johnson Foundation. We'll be right back with you.
This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Bird Dine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Local artist Tawny Bates is bringing her creative energy to the Price Center for a new four-part series of art meetups mixing creativity and the role of a die. Bates is a resident artist at Eye of the Dog Art Center in San Marcos. Her focus is sewing felt stuffies, but she is accomplished in a multitude of media. Participants in On a Creative Role will dive into different art forms by learning the basics about a specific medium. Artists will then work on a project that will take them through a unique and creative process of using dice to decide the various aspects of that session's project. Bates will hold four sessions on two Fridays in March on the 14th and the 21st from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 in the newly renovated upstairs studio at the Price Center, and will focus on drawing and letting the die take it from there. Two more classes will be held in April. All skill levels are welcome. The classes are free and open to all. However, reservations are recommended. Cash and art supply donations are always welcome. To register, email info@pricecenter.org. For more information about the Price Center and its facilities and services, please call us at 512-392-2900 or stop by the center at 222 West San Antonio Street. We hope to see you there.
Anybody out there interested in chess? Join us at the San Marcos Local Chess Club. We get together every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the San Marcos Public Library. All levels are welcomed. Everybody is welcomed. All ages are welcomed. It's a really chilled environment just to enjoy and play some chess all together.
And we're back at Wonderful World, the radio show at KZSM.org, 104.1 FM. We are covering river and aquifer issues, as always, and have On Los Sepulveda, one of the co-producers of Yacona, the movie about the San Marcos River. And we were just starting to talk about the outpouring of help from the community to get this thing made. So tell us more about that and other funders.
Yeah. I mean, I think Paul and I, when we were initially filming, we started, kind of piecing together a story and realized that it was worthy of a feature length type film. I think initially we were kind of on the fence about whether or not it was going to be a short film or, but the more things that were, like I said, revealed to us as we filmed, the more it just became important to make this, to have as big of an impact and to kind of encapsulate all of the story of the river from the very beginning to where we are now. And we very quickly realized we were going to need some more support, especially to get it, you know, screening ready for, you know, the big screen. There's a lot of things that are required for the score, for the sound design, for the color grading, and all of that stuff to get it kind of like really nice and
technical stuff that costs money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's it. And so we talked to Smurf and Kevin was a big part of this. Kevin and Clint McCrocklin, they really were like, hey, I think that the community will pay for this, you know, because you know, it was a big price tag to get all of the services that we needed to get the film to the finishing line.
And it was back in the early days of Indiegogo.
That's right. So we decided to launch an Indiegogo campaign and try to raise $50,000. And boy, I mean, we did a whole video on it, and we kind of promoted it through all the social media channels, and people responded, the community responded. I think it was something that a lot of folks, you know, there was a kind of a niche group of people that really cared about the river and did a lot of stuff, but kind of broadening that, I think, you know, awareness about the film. And, you know, just whenever you kind of point a camera at anything, people think, oh, wow, maybe that's important. So, you know.
Well, I think also it had been a long time since Ron Coley had made his movie, River of Innocence.
That's right, yeah.
And equipment had improved a lot. Mm-hmm. And to have an underwater video or film of the river was really something wonderful. And so I think a lot of people were for it. Y'all also visited, as I recall, all of the civic groups.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few Austin Film Society people.
That's right. We applied for a filmmaker's grant from the Austin Film Society, and that was very, very helpful and kind of, you know, helping support our actual filming of the film. There were some businesses, Seth and his group with Zelix and Pi Society, they provided some funding. There was, you know, the city of San Marcos provided some funding. We kind of did some videos for the city of San Marcos in return, some of the parks and stuff. So that was fun. We're so proud of the fact that this belongs to the community, and that's why we're, you know, doing this screening. We're like, we got to make it free, you know, we got to make it to where people can come out and enjoy the river and the film and be re-inspired and reinvigorated. And there's, you know, nothing more validating that whenever you have that vision of creating something that is about the river, that belongs to the community, and then 11 years later, putting on a screening event like this, and having people kind of enjoy it.
Well, I hope everybody will wear their Yocona t-shirts, because let me tell you, Smurf took on the task of getting that mountain of t-shirts out to donor, and it was a job.
Yeah, no, it was...
people had changed their addresses.
Yep. Oh, you know. Yeah, that was...
It took a long time to track everybody down, and I think we were left with one or two t-shirts.
Yeah, that's right. It was quite an endeavor, and you know, that's one of the reasons, I don't know if you've seen the end credits of the film, we always like to include, you know, try to make sure everybody watches that scene, because we invited everybody who was in our Indiegogo campaign, and just anybody who wanted to come out to the river and just be part of the credits. You know, we did some portrait cinematography of people at the river, and then we did a big group shot, aerial shot of people standing in the river, and so that
I was there.
Yeah,
I remember
that's right.
It.
Yeah, that's
it was
right.
Fun.
Yeah, that was it was a blast to have everybody out there and be in the film.
So stay to the end, and see the credits and everything that happens, because actually there's some pretty cool things that happen during and after the credits.
That's right.
Just a hint there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this is going to be outdoors on March 22nd at the Meadow Center for Texas Water Day. And they are going to have $6 boat rides on the glass bottom boats. Mm-hmm. And I think the gathering starts about 6, but mm-hmm. they're open during the day too. And then there's crafts for kids and family members from 6 to 8. And there's a panel discussion about the film. I guess mm-hmm. you and Paul will be there.
Yes, Paul and I and Virginia will be uh-huh. on the panel as well.
So we're going to talk about water issues.
And Miranda. And Miranda oh, yes. from the Wet Meadow Center will be
yes.
on the panel.
Good. So, well, that'll yeah. be well worth listening to.
Yep.
That starts at 7:15, and the movie and the live score
right.
is at 8 o'clock. So it should be a beautiful evening.
Yes, yeah. That's the idea. And this is actually our first screening at the Meadow Center. We have never mm-hmm. screened there. And we filmed oh. a majority of the film in Spring
yes,
Lake.
Yes, that's true.
So this is our, for some reason, we just, you know, we always did it somewhere else. But Miranda came in and was like, well, we're doing this World Water Day. It would be great to have the film at the
perfect.
End of the day. And
perfect.
We were like, that's fantastic. That'd be
okay,
nice.
Well, we only have about 5 minutes left. So tell us about what you're doing now and how you're involved in film mm-hmm. at your job or wherever. And if you have any other ideas cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I work at the film department at the new Live Oak Studios here at Texas State. And it's fantastic working with students. And, you know, I always encourage them, hey, get in the river. Film about the river. Film underwater. I even did a lab with some of the mass comm students where we actually went and I got my underwater camera and
oh,
I took the students
great.
Out there and showed them how to use it. And they put together a whole episode on the river. So
what a skill to know and yeah. be able to teach right here in our town.
That's right.
Not
yeah.
in the Caribbean.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I tell students all the time, man, you have this incredible resource right here. There are very few places in Texas that have water this clear. There's very few places in the world that have water this clear, you know, to where you can actually see things underwater with the camera. So,
and we need to keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And so
the temperature is perfect too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of places that are clear that it's pretty darn cold.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
But I'll tell you what, it actually feels comfortable in the winter when it's cold outside
yes,
because
right.
the water is always the same.
Yeah.
So what else are you got cooked up?
Yeah, I'm. I have a few narrative projects that I've been developing. I did a film with Justin Sherburn called Living Coast, and we filmed up and down the Texas coast, and he created a score. We actually premiered it at the State in downtown Austin right before COVID hit.
Oh no!
Yeah, and then we had a whole tour planned, and then COVID hit, and then just kind of wiped out all the plans for that. I mean, we did a few screenings here and there of The Living Coast, but
we need a revival.
I know,
and PBS needs to show it.
I know that would be wonderful, but yeah, we you know a lot of the same idea behind Yacona, a little bit more kind of live music performance with. The you know there's we did do some kind of voiceover about you know protecting the ocean, protecting the Texas coast, and we actually got some amazing underwater stuff whenever it was actually clear,
yeah,
which
often.
Was like one day of the year,
yeah,
down in South Padre, and so yeah, we're you know looking at the possibility of trying to revive that film, and then. You know, mainly my focus has been kind of raising my daughter and soccer and the whole thing, doing all that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, she's a sophomore now, so maybe I'm kind of plotting whenever she graduates and goes off to college, maybe I'll really pick up another big project again.
You know, we had Ben Masters speak to the River Foundation 40th anniversary party and meeting, and I learned a lot about what he did on his coastal film.
Yeah.
And I think you two need to get together. We need to introduce you. Maybe he would have some contact that would help y'all do that, because that's worth doing. Our coasts are so important, mm-hmm. and our rivers are so important, mm-hmm. as they flow to the coast and provide the fresh water that the bays need, so that everything that lives in the Gulf can survive, because it uses those bays as a nursery.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are at the end of our meeting today with Onlo Sepulveda at the Wonderful World, and we'll be back. We want to thank Rob Rourke for our wonderful producer, and the Birdine Johnson Foundation. And we're signing off for today. We'll see you on the second Tuesday next month. Thank you.
This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Birdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Of green air.